You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
Wow, I like that music.
I know, right?
Get you going, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I'd ask for Teddy Bear Picnic, but this was a better choice. There's no doubt about it.
What's Teddy Bear Picnic?
Oh, you don't know?
I don't. I'm
Beneath
too
the trees where nobody sees, that's the place the teddy bears have their picnic. And now we have to pay royalties on that. I hope you're happy,
Michael. Oh, my gosh. With that vocal rendition?
Right?
Hello. No royalties.
I gave myself... Hey, the audience loved it. I don't know what you're complaining about. So how you been, man? Haven't seen you for, what is it, 12 hours now?
Yeah, we did a pre-record yesterday, so
we did
like 12 hours, you're right.
That's right, but
here
it was great fun yesterday. We had some great guests, and
yes,
that show
did.
Will air on August 9th. Some cool things. We had a little sneak preview of it out here, so cool things coming up that we're going to be announcing.
Absolutely.
It's great.
And we have some wonderful people on today, too, for our listeners to enjoy.
No doubt about it.
And we have with us, ladies and gentlemen, director and narrator of the Odyssey Theater's spectacular revival production of Side by Side by Sondheim. And we have Mr. Mark Kaufman and Mr. Dan Fishback.
That's right. Welcome, guys. Thank you so much. Glad to have you.
Glad to be here.
This show is a great show. I love this piece. We were talking a little bit earlier. It captures a unique bit of Sondheim's work, doesn't it?
Well, it captures essentially the first half of his career.
Yeah.
Mm. And there's no Sweeney Todd and no Into the Woods and shows that people do regularly these days. So it's kind of fun to focus on the less done pieces.
Yeah.
And some obscure pieces and... some wonderful hidden gems that the general public who are not Sondheim fans or aficionados might not even be aware.
It's fun to hear the songs that Sondheim worked on as just lyricist as well,
right?
Which, you know, post-1976, you really don't get.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, the West Side Stories and the Gypsies and, you know, a few
amazing.
Other, you know.
And there certainly was an energy that he had in his early career that was just unstoppable. So many amazing pieces. Mm-hmm. And some of those didn't go into the best shows, which I think is interesting. So that's a cool thing to see.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
Michael, obviously we got a lot to talk about here on July 26th and a fantastic show in store. I wanted to make sure that we get to talk a little bit about all the other cool things going on. But before we do that, we should thank our sponsors, yeah?
I think we should.
Let's definitely do that.
We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, Princess Cruises for coming on board. You see how I
Oh, that was clever.
Yeah. Because these two, I don't know where they are today.
A wave of enthusiasm right there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm sorry, that ship has sailed.
Okay.
Oh, let's just shuffleboard along.
Somebody move on, please, quickly.
Oh, they are a pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who will seek enriching experiences. Only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide, aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel. At the end of each month, from September to August, one lucky winner will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships. Make sure to come to LA Talk Radio and State of the Arts, our page here on the network, and you will see a beautiful logo of Princess. You click on it, and you will have the opportunity to win that cruise.
That's right. And obviously, as we come to the end of July, they're giving one away now and then another one in August. So lots of cool chances to win there. Log in and get your name entered as soon as you can on the LA Talk Radio State of the Arts page. We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts here in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
It's a great resource, and Mike Napoli and his team work very hard at trying to keep everything up to date on that site. So
that's right.
I appreciate that.
Speaking of working hard, you are smack dab in the middle of Stage Star, aren't
I
you?
I am.
How's that going?
LA is next for Stage Star.
Yeah.
Week one has successfully launched, and so we are coming into the remaining 5 weeks of the competition.
Wow.
And some synergy here today with Side by Side by Sondheim. One of our contestants is the lovely Sarah Busick.
Yay, Sarah.
who is doing a stellar job. And it's a thrilling year for us. It's our 12th anniversary year.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So we're doing it on the
WMO. You guys have been doing that a long time. Because
yeah.
I remember 5 or 6 years ago, you had several of my USC students, you know, throughout the years have done it. And
yes.
It's always a great time to come up to Sterling's at the Federal and see the performances.
That's where we've met, you and I.
Yeah.
Yes. Caroline St. Louis.
That's
Carrie
right.
St. Louis, who's currently on Broadway.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. She just
Broadway.
Won't stop.
Yeah. She's in Kinky Boots right now.
Right? Very cool.
Yeah. And she's lovely. What a lovely
she's
woman.
She's fantastic. Jonah Platt.
Jonah Platt.
Had, and some others over the years.
That's a big talented family, isn't it?
That's for sure.
So, we have 22 of our contestants
wow.
have already now made their Broadway debuts and or some of them are on their third and fourth Broadway shows.
Amazing.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's great.
It is. And 50% of the remaining overall competitors who pass through this competition, which is 228, mm-hmm. excluding this year, have musical theater careers.
Right.
In some form, be it on ocean liners like Princess, mm-hmm. International theme parks, regional theater all across the country, Vegas sit-downs of Broadway shows. So that's our
working professionals.
You know?
That's right.
It's a great place to see, you know, the stars of tomorrow, today. You
yeah,
know?
Cool.
I mean, it really, really
Thank
is.
You. Thank you.
Fantastic talent.
We're and very happy to be at the El Portal Theater this year.
Right and, across from the Federal, which we love so much.
Right across from the Federal. The competition was, we kind of outgrew it in Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, so we've been in 3 years.
Outgrew your
theaters,
own space, man.
Theaters for the last 3 years.
Well, now, how can people get tickets for LA's next great stage
they
show?
Simply go to the El Portal Theater.com network.
Okay.
Network. The
website.
Website,
mm-hmm.
yes. And that's easy to find. Just put in El Portal. It'll come right up, and you have your opportunity to click on buying tickets. And we've got some special deals for you, too, if you buy into one or more shows. So take a look at that.
Go and see kind of as the competition progresses. Now, contestants perform every week, even if they're not
every
the top
week.
Three every
there,
week, right?
Yeah. There are no eliminations in this competition until the finale.
Right.
And that's the first and only time. And two will rise to the top this year, and
yeah.
the remaining contestants will be let go. But you know what? No one's a loser in this competition.
Right.
Because the
no.
information that is disseminated by the judging panels, which are 20 dedicated judges in the first 5 weeks of the competition, is so... It's everything that you don't hear when you go to an audition.
Right.
It's what you hope, you know. It's kind of confusing when you leave an audition and they say thank you for coming in. And,
right.
and there's no look of terror on anybody's faces, but you just don't know if you did well or you didn't do well. And then
feedback
if you...
Feedback is incredibly important.
Yeah.
It is.
And you've got some great judges there. I mean, I was talking to, I think, Michael Donovan.
Yes.
You know, great, fantastic casting director
right.
that these young people get to work with and hear from. I mean, that's
right.
invaluable stuff.
He's been there every year.
He's fantastic.
It's gotten to the point where I'm thrilled to be able to say this, that all of our judges can't wait for this particular competition to come around each year
yeah.
because they signs the equity judges, equity theater judges that are involved, sign these kids, you know, snap them up.
Yeah.
And Michael has been very verbal. You know, the judges give their comments in front of the audience.
Right.
Who is also voting, I might add, the audience. But they want them to succeed. It's not like the Simon Cowell thing. You know,
yes.
sometimes we get a judge in there that is a little rough and we have to kind of cool them down a little bit because I won't name any names.
They need a Princess Cruise to relax, though.
That's right. They should enter the contest.
That's
well,
right.
As I recall, I mean, even the people who win are not the only ones who've gone on to these Broadway careers. There have been people who have given strong performances,
yes.
ended up in the top three or four,
oh,
and
yeah.
still gone on to these amazing careers. So the wealth of
yeah.
talent is considerable.
Yeah, it is. It's a very blessed kind of event. And I would have never thought 12 years ago that we would still be here and or in, you know, on the level of which we are in Princess. Is
yeah.
The sponsor
So, well, some cool stuff. I mean, obviously, that's LA's next great stage show. It's such a great chance to see a show at the El Portal. But then there's lots of other good shows going on, too. You and I were talking about the wonderful On Your Feet at the Pantages, which we loved so much. That's such a good time. The energy in that show.
I have seen it. It's fun. Good fun.
Did you see it in New York?
No, I saw it here.
Oh, you're here.
At the Pantages.
Of course, the amazing Susan Egan on stage in Thousand Oaks doing Beauty and the Beast.
Her first time ever.
This is the last weekend coming up, as a matter of fact. So they've got one more weekend.
You're going tonight.
I am. I'll be there, front row center.
Yes,
dressed as, well, my daughter may dress me as Belle. Be careful. You never know. You may look really cute up there in my blue and white dress.
Might I suggest a spoon?
Yes, you're right. But Mark Ginsburg, our good buddy, is playing Lumiere.
A spoon to pick him up off the floor.
That's right. But it was interesting, too, because this cast has so many cool people in it. I mean, this is a really special production people are getting excited about. Heard some great stuff about it so far, so I'm excited to see it.
Well, I hope your kids enjoy it.
Yeah. Have you seen any other theater this week, or have you been stuck in stage show?
I haven't, and I'm prepping to, because of the possibility of losing one of our contestants to a job in New York, which we condone, that's going to change it. Make my workload today just kind of go all haywire.
So. Yeah.
Have you guys seen Mudhouse yet?
Going on the weekend after this.
Oh, we had the two stars on. We loved that.
That was such a fun concept for a show. Claire is a former student of mine and somebody I
top contender in stage.
In stage art, she's fantastic, and Anthony Luca, the music director, is somebody I've worked with, and I'm eager to see it. So
great. Ryan McCartan, Claire and Ryan were on the show.
Oh, fantastic!
They were a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And I think also, I mean, there's other good stuff. I went out to go see Winter's Tale with Shakespeare by the Sea, starring one of my good buddies, Patrick Vest, and of course the amazing Stephanie Coltrane, and all the wonderful people involved with Shakespeare by the Sea. And that's touring in this heat. They're setting up and breaking down their own set, doing two shows in rep all over the Southland. So some really amazing, dedicated artists doing some good
Stephanie
stuff.
Stephanie is acting in this production?
No, Stephanie, I believe she directed one of the productions this year.
I don't think I've ever seen her
on stage acting, although she'd be great, I'm sure. It's interesting, too, that whole group, they do everything. I mean, Shakespeare by the Sea, they build the sets, they set them up, they take them in the U-Haul across the state to go on all these tours. That is the heart
and
of performing.
And where here is it?
I believe they either just were in La Mirada or they're headed to La Mirada. But you can go to shakespearebythesea.org, check out their website, and there's lots of good performance dates coming up all through the summer.
So, but it's not really by the sea? Like
sometimes it is. They open up in San Pedro. And they do a couple weeks down there, and then they tour, and some of them are Manhattan Beach or Laguna. I know they've performed in Malibu a number of times. Of course, not the years that I was involved with it.
But do they set up on the beach? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they set up. In fact, very often, the parks...
It's humid to go see it this season.
It's been really a challenge, and yet their crowds have been amazing. They've had hundreds of people out there. When I stopped by, I had to stand way at the back because there were people flooding the parks. So their crowds have been great, but the heat, I mean, it's been substantial.
Bring your own ice.
That's right. Well, and more than that, can you imagine how well the vendors are doing?
Go out
there and get an icy cart and set up. Yeah. But it was strange when you watched it because you realized that, I mean, and they do. They set up, you know, wherever they can that's nice and cool, but it's a really nice experience on blankets. Everybody brings picnics. Lots of fun. So
that's great.
Yeah, lots of good stuff going on.
Yeah, very nice.
Shall we talk about this show?
I think we should.
Let's do it.
Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, has been a theater director, producer, and teacher for 20 years. Recent directing credits include last season's critically acclaimed production of Jacques Brel Is Alive and Living in Paris at the Odyssey Theater, Noises Off at Oklahoma City University, and Assassins at the Pico Playhouse, which earned him a Broadway World, Stage Raw, and Robbie Award nomination.
He directed the workshop production of We're Here for You, the international tour of One Night Stand, an improvised musical, Private Eyes, The Maiden's Prayer, the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, Chicago, Company, and Spring Awakening. He is on the musical theater and directing faculties at USC School of Dramatic Arts and has taught acting, musical theater, and directing at Cal Poly Pomona, Kenyon College, Santa Monica College, and the American Musical and Dramatic Academy. And the Harvard Westlake School.
He served as the director of the Groundlings Theater and School and is the co-founder of the Los Angeles Musical Theater Studio. He joins us in studio this very fine day to talk about his current role as director for the Odyssey's revival production of Side by Side by Sondheim. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Dan Fishback.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, applause. My adoring fans.
It's all those students trying to get that A.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
How you doing? I tell you, I was shocked by your educational pursuits. You have taught at a ton of universities. You've seen a ton of young and up-and-coming stars. That must be amazing to watch.
Oh, it's fantastic. You know, it's always been a passion of mine to teach and to, you know, I mean, I think as Michael probably sees in his stage star young people, it's fun to see them at the beginnings of their careers and to help guide them on the path. And some of them grow up and do fantastic things on stage, and some of them grow up and do fantastic things off stage, and some of them do terrible things. Well, I'm just saying, statistically, that's probably true.
You just didn't want to leave us thinking that it was all rosy.
I've been very...
The world is a beautiful place, Daniel.
The world is a beautiful place. Thank you, Mark. No, I've been very lucky to teach some fantastic people at some fantastic institutions. <so.
laughs> Is Palmer still there?
Palmer Fuller.
Yes.
Yeah, he still teaches at USC.
He does.
Yeah.
I went on SC website and could not find him associated.
Well, he is actually technically part of the Thornton School of Music faculty,
right.
And he does crossover with the School of Theater in some of the musical theater classes. But the school is actually starting a new musical theater major that premieres this year. Next year. So he'll be, I think, more involved in the School of Theater as well.
Good. We had more people coming, less from USC this year and more from UCLA.
Uh-oh. Them's fighting words, Michael. I don't know.
You're going to have to boycott the stage star now. Oh, my goodness. We've started a war.
That's right.
Well, now tell me about this show, Side by Side by Sondheim, and how you got involved with it.
Well, it's a show that I'm particularly passionate about, only because I am particularly passionate about the work of Stephen Sondheim.
Mm-hmm.
He is really, I would say, the most important figure in all of musical theater history. When you think about simply the longevity and the sort of importance that he's had from the 1950s, you know, where he got his start in West Side Story as a lyricist, and he's still working today. So when you think about just the people that he's worked with and the people that he's influenced, it's really overwhelming.
Yeah.
To have your fingers in West Side Story and then Sweeney Todd and then Into the Woods and all the fantastic things he's done. So, you know, to have sort of a smorgasbord, if you will, of Sondheim music in a two-hour evening was a particularly appealing idea to me, and one that I worked with Ron Saucy, who's been on the show, I believe, artistic director over at the Odyssey, on bringing to fruition over there.
Right.
It's a fantastic two-hour evening. It's got four actors. You hear 26 songs in that time, and Mark Kaufman, who's here with me, guarantees you a good time.
Wow.
On stage.
Financially backed guarantee, correct?
That's right. It's financially backed.
We'll
his information is on the web.
The
if you don't have a good time, please contact.
If no one has a good time, Daniel gets a dollar.
That's right. But that's how this thing came about. And I love the fact that we get so many of these Sondheim songs that were actually cut from shows that you wouldn't necessarily hear on a regular album, for instance.
Can you tell us a little bit of some of those songs that you're talking about?
Oh, sure. Well, some of the stuff, the Can That Boy Foxtrot is a number that was cut.
Written about me. Boy, Can I Foxtrot.
From Follies. Yeah.
I think you're trotting right now.
Boy.
I just won.
Yeah. Yeah. Could I Leave You is a song that was cut from Do I Hear a Waltz?
No,
right.
No.
Could I Leave You?
I don't mean Could I Leave You. I mean, what am I talking about?
Follies. We're going to Be All Right.
Thank you. We're going to Be All Right, which is a duet that was cut from the lyrics that we hear. Lyrics we hear today were
amazing.
Cut
yes,
because they were deemed too risque.
I'd heard that story briefly before, and it's so strange to think about that because you realize how long Sondheim's career was.
Right.
He went from two
so
very drastically.
The lyrics songs. of which of those two songs?
We're going to
Be All Right.
A song from Do I Hear a Waltz.
Yeah.
And,
very risque.
And Rich, apparently, as I say in the show, Richard Rodgers, according to Sondheim, liked the lyric very much, but his wife Dorothy strenuously disapproved.
Wow.
Because it's very edgy.
Yeah.
And it became incumbent upon Sondheim to rewrite a milder version. And that milder version, it was heard in the theater in 65, but we're doing the edgier version because it's fun.
Wow, when she weighed, she laid down the law, and I guess we see who won. My goodness, wow.
She's probably turning over right now.
Oh, yes.
Not a happy person.
Not happy.
No, no. So we get some of those, you know, real originals that you haven't heard in a long time, and then you get some fantastic classic songs. You know, you get the duet from West Side, the woman's duet from West Side Story. You get "Marry Me a Little," again cut from Company,
right,
but then re-added, and all sorts of cool things like that. You get some big sections from Follies,
from Gypsy, as
from
I recall.
Gypsy, yeah, you get, you know, some tidbits. You get some great Company numbers, "Getting Married Today," which is, you know, just a fantastic song sung in our show by Rachel McLaughlin.
And not an easy song to sing.
Very difficult song to sing. In fact, there are so many lyrics in the show.
Right, as opposed to all the easy Sondheim, right?
Yeah.
Right. The
exactly.
Beginner Sondheim.
Well, that's the other. That's the other part of this is that, you know, this is unforgiving music. I mean,
yeah,
if as an actor, you don't have a chance to screw up in this show. I mean, those of you who know Sondheim know that you don't get a second chance on stage. If you stop, the music keeps going.
Right.
So
right.
It's relentless in that sense.
Yep.
So
we had a contestant in Stage Star 1 year who did Putting It Together.
Oh, wow.
And the arrangement was a takedown of the one that Streisand recorded.
Oh. Right.
And it was something that I gave to her. And
wow.
I said, but if you miss one beat of this song or go up on a
lyric,
done. You are, you know.
Cooked.
And Josie Yount was her name, and she nailed this
thing. Oh, that's
thing,
great.
And the judges stood up and gave her an ovation.
How
it
great.
Like, as did the audience after the
yeah.
they saw the judges standing up.
Very
it,
cool.
But it was remarkable, actually. It's on YouTube. It's gotten a lot of hits. Yeah.
Wow. Well, obviously, we're talking about Side by Side by Sondheim, now playing at the Odyssey Theater. Tell me a little bit about the cast and who's involved.
Yeah.
So, as I said, it's a cast of four. The narrator, who's sitting next to me here today, is my friend Mark Kaufman. And then the...
Of the Kaufmans of Southampton?
That's right. That's
yes.
right.
Yes, yes, actually, well, I'm a 2N Kaufman, as opposed to the 1N Kaufmans of the George S. variety. I worked on a show in New York a few years back, directed a concert production of Hollywood Pinafore, which
wow.
was HMS Pinafore yeah. that George S. Kaufman rewrote in a Hollywood movie studio in the 30s. And his daughter Anne was there, and she said that when they were growing up, they knew of 2N Kaufmans, but he said, we can't afford the second one.
So you're from the yuppie side.
Well,
the side that had a little extra cash floating around by the end.
That's right.
I think the 1N Kaufmans ended up with good cash.
They probably did all right, too.
They succeeded all right.
So that's Mark true. Is my narrator, and then I've got three people in the show who are the main sort of singers in the show, and that's Rachel McLaughlin, who plays the very, very importantly titled Woman Number One. Woman Number Two is played by the young and very talented Sarah Busick.
Oh, total typecasting.
Total
always
typecasting.
Plays Woman Number Two.
Right? Third woman from the left of Woman. And then there's only one man in the show, and that is played by an actor named Chris Carrigan, who obviously sings all the male and, believe it or not, some of the female.
And what is the name of his role?
Man.
Interesting.
Yes, yes.
Fascinating.
Not to be confused with the 2N man. This is a 1N
Sondheim really stepped out on a limb there with his name
this is,
choices.
This is very... Very, very unique.
Now, is this show traditionally done with such a small cast?
It is. It's traditionally done with three singers and one narrator. That's how it was originally done and conceived in 1976.
But do you, as the narrator, join in the songs at
yes,
some point?
Yes, I do.
All right.
He couldn't stay away from the singing parts. So.
It's to a minor degree.
Right.
So
because the title song must certainly be sung in the show. Right?
Yes.
It is actually sung as an encore in the show.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I participate in that. I have a few lines of music here and there, but that's plenty for me. I'm perfectly happy not worrying about my throat for the run of the show.
Although one of the reviews did say that Mark was underused.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a high compliment. Yeah.
I tease some singing at the very top of the show, and then you don't hear from me again until the middle of the second act.
Wow.
I do a bit from Pacific Overtures there.
Wow.
So you know. But I talk endlessly. As I told the cast, I yammer, but my yammering gives them a rest.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's just an endless concert. So I interrupt them and they can breathe, and I offer anecdotes and background information and the occasional joke or three.
Wow.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's a fun evening. Again, it's 2 hours and you get 26 songs from Sondheim from different shows. So it's
and how do people leave feeling the theater after the show?
Oh, miserable.
Right. It's such a really depressing. Yeah, it's
just, oh, why did I come here?
This is a really uplifting show, isn't it? I mean, generally speaking, people leave feeling like they've seen just a breath of fresh air kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really, really, it's generally an upbeat show, although, of course, it's Sondheim, so
right.
It's some heavy stuff as well. Mm-hmm. But it's, I think you leave feeling like you've had a satisfying meal of Sondheim with many courses.
It ain't West Side Story where you leave questioning everything in the world and going, how the heck are we going to continue on this planet? Yeah, I agree. I think that's a great thing. Obviously, the soundtrack, I've never seen the show live, but the soundtrack is really a greatest of the greatest kind of thing.
Indeed.
It's beautiful.
Indeed.
Well, you know, talking of sound, this is a little story of a gentleman that you might know by the name of Bruce Kimmel.
Oh, sure.
Of course.
And Bruce is friendly with Mr. Sondheim, and Bruce has a company that he organized called Critcherland mm-hmm. Records, and mm-hmm. Prior to his tenure with Verice Saraband, which was under the umbrella of Universal, and he started this record company so that he could have complete control of what was done, as opposed to being told what to do, which is typical Bruce. But
nice work if you can get it.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And he got permission from Mr. Sondheim,
sure.
to redo the original recording of Follies.
Wow.
Because Mr. Sondheim had expressed to him that he was never satisfied with the actual original recording.
Wow.
That was produced.
I have that recording.
Yeah,
it's
a great recording.
I do indeed, yes.
And
remixed it. It
he totally
so
remixed
much
it.
Better.
Yeah. And
wow. You can get it on his website at Critcherland.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And upon that occasion, he got a letter from Mr. Sondheim praising his work.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And he has that on a piece of paper.
I'll bet he does.
You know?
Sondheim is actually great about mentoring other artists, you know, whether you're interested in collaborating with him or learning from him, or you have a question. In my experience, I've written to him a few times, and he's always written back.
Really?
Wow.
Every single time, email or letter, he'll always write back. And I don't know that
impressive.
There's a lot of
no.
people of his caliber that are so eager to continue to help up-and-coming you know, people in the business.
That's great.
A lovely piece of information to disseminate
no doubt.
Here.
You can reach him through Mark Kaufman. So
again, information available
Mark
at the
Kaufman.
End of the show.
Yeah.
Again, the show we're talking about here today is Side by Side by Sondheim, and it's obviously a great piece that's been around a lot, but not that often done. So a great chance to go see this at the Odyssey Theater. And easiest way to get tickets is just go to theodysseytheater.com. That's theater with an R-E.
And it runs through September 16th. And you can also call for tickets, 310-477-2055, extension 2, and as Andrew just said, or theodysseytheater.com website. Tickets are very, very well-priced here, ladies and gentlemen. So as we always say on this show,
get up.
Get up from that TV and put down that remote and put your children in the car if it's appropriate and take them to the theater.
Buckle up.
That's
yes,
right.
Buckle up.
Obviously, the tickets say...
keep that cell phone at home.
That's right.
The Odyssey has different ticket prices as the different shows come in, I believe. But this is $32 to $37 for tickets. And I believe they have a Ticks for 10 performance.
Yes, on Thursday.
I think that's tonight.
Tonight? There's no show tonight.
No show tonight. Oh. Right.
That's why they're so cheap.
That's why they're so cheap.
You can go to the theater and get in for $10.
They still will take your
I'll bet you they get let you in cheaper tonight.
And
yeah.
Be in a nice empty theater, but it's air conditioned at least.
Oh,
Mark
careful.
Will be
You'll
there.
Flood the
ten.
House.
That's right, the 10 right there.
Your ticket sales just went up.
There's a Ticks for 10 tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday night, a Ticks for 10, you have to show up. I believe you show up at the door. and you can get a $10 ticket to Side by Side.
So I believe that's on Friday the 27th, on August 8th, and then on September 6th as well.
Yes.
No more than we do.
Yes.
That's true.
I read my press releases. It's the only reading I do all week long.
This is a Lucy Pollock press release.
That's right.
No mistakes in that one. None. You're right. She's great. Yes, one of the things that's cool, too, about the show is that it is a glimpse back into the earlier part of Sondheim's work, and you get to see where he went with so many cool productions as well. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll give that information.
Absolutely,
again.
Absolutely.
But are we going to do a live arts calendar?
We should do a live arts calendar. In fact, we're going to feature a great show at the White Fire Theater. White Fire Theater, in association with Artists Against Oppression, brings us The Blade of Jealousy, this world premiere of Henry Ong's modern adaptation of the Spanish Renaissance playwright De Molina's Jealous of Herself, a madcap comedy of disguise and deception set in modern-day Los Angeles.
Dashing Melchor.
Mm-hmm.
Moves to Los Angeles to court his online dating connection, but unexpectedly falls in love with a mysterious veiled lady, Magdalena, in a cathedral, and she with him. Unaware that the lady and his date are one and the same person, his reactions ignite Magdalena's jealousy of herself.
Ong's modern take on the 17th century Spanish play is a surprisingly relevant show today, in light of society's obsession with outward beauty and how it relates to self-worth.
Don't miss The Blade of Jealousy, with performances every Sunday at 7 p.m. through August 26th at Whitefire Theater in Sherman Oaks. For tickets or more information, call 818-634-8464 or visit whitefiretheater.com.
That's right. Now, have you been out to the Whitefire, Michael?
Not recently. I get a little claustrophobic
it's
in
a small
theaters
space.
That are very
yeah.
small like that. But
it's
I have been there, anything I've seen has been wonderful. So.
They bring in so many shows. I mean, there's always something playing at the Whitefire. You can always go down there and see something. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the time has come for our second guest. You heard his voice earlier today. Our next guest was last seen on the Odyssey stage in the original award-winning production of Mary Barnes. As a playwright, credits include Denver Drama Critics Best New Play winner, Evil Little Thoughts, Square One, It's All in the Toner, and High School Perennial, The End of Civilization as We Know It as well.
His new libretto for the 1919 Jerome Kern musical Zip Goes a Million was part of the Kern Centennial Celebration at Carnegie Hall. He co-authored and directed a new musical, Painting the Clouds with Sunshine, and co-produced the CBS special Jump, Jive, and Thrive, a celebration of cancer survivorship.
Other directing and credits include Hollywood Pinafore, God's Favorite, and The Importance of Being Earnest, just to name a few. He is the co-owner and instructor of the Los Angeles Musical Theater Studio at the Odyssey Theater.
And he is here today, ladies and gentlemen, to tell us about his current role as the narrator in the Odyssey's revival of Side by Side by Sondheim. We are so happy to welcome him, Mr. Mark Kaufman.
That's right.
Wow.
I love you, Mark.
The applause is a refreshing cold breeze. and I think, Dan, my applause was a little bit louder than yours.
I noticed that, too. I don't know.
It's only because the audience was so happy to be back out of the closet we keep them in.
That's
they
right.
just could not contain their excitement.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Cheered.
You could have stopped at one point in that sentence, and it would have been an entirely different audience. Yeah.
Well, maybe not.
Our listenership skyrockets here. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about was the celebration of cancer survivorship.
Yes.
What an amazing thing. Personal experience with that? How did you become involved with this group?
Yes. Well, my close friend and lawyer that I'd known from college.
Close friend and a lawyer.
He was close
friend. I didn't know lawyers were allowed to have close friends.
Well, this worked out. He was a wonderful man, and he passed away last year, having dealt with four different kinds of cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it can happen.
Wow.
And he survived 7 years, and then it became too much for him.
He battled four different cancers for 7 years.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Good Lord.
Just a remarkable story, a remarkable guy.
Wow.
Frank Stewart was his name. In any case, through him, I met another friend of his from law school who was a television producer. And he was going to put this show together called Jump, Jive, Thrive about cancer survivorship, mm-hmm. and used a number of athletes and gymnasts and personal testimonials of celebrities who've been through the mill with it, and show that life goes on, and that even if you're coping with it in the moment, you can still live your life. And it was a very uplifting, it was a wonderful thing. We shot at Pauley Pavilion.
Oh, wonderful.
At UCLA.
Wow.
And Valerie Condos, who's the head of the gymnastics program, was associated with us and brought in some wonderful Olympic medalists in gymnastics, and we had musical acts, and it was Melissa Etheridge was one of the performers.
Wow.
Fantastic.
And she was grand, and Fran Drescher came and spoke. And, you know, it was a great group of people, and all for a very good cause.
Definitely.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, I just thought of Fran Drescher as a gymnast act.
No, that.
I wouldn't want to see that. No.
Michael, absolutely. I know you've talked a lot about Scott Hamilton and his battles with that and his successes with that as well.
And Scott was one of our hosts.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. You know, he's been he was an official client of mine for 25 years and in my publicity and days, and which I still do, and we are very close friends.
Well,
and
a very fine gentleman.
He is he's one of the nicest men on the planet. Mm-hmm. He truly is. I don't say that because I'm associated with him, but he truly is.
Yeah.
And he has now four beautiful children, two between his wife and himself, and the other two adopted from Honduras.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, he's given those kids a break and providing a life for them. And he lives in Nashville now, not Los Angeles anymore. Or Denver was when we met, when he was just had won the gold. So.
Amazing. Mm. Well, obviously, that's such a great project. And Jump, Jive, and Thrive is the name of the show.
It aired last October.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I saw a little press on that, and I thought it was amazing. And I thought it was such a good thing to do because so many people have a story of how cancer touched their lives. And yes. Frank Stewart, you said, is that correct?
Yes,
the gentleman who struggled with that. I know that there are people who fight for years and years and years and have reoccurrences and still keep that amazing spirit of, I'm just going to keep living my life and not let this affect me. So,
yes, and that's the best attitude to have.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, mind power to that.
No doubt about it. Obviously, a big hand to all those people.
Yeah.
Takes a great spirit and a great thing you're doing. Now, I got to ask you, being the narrator in a production like this, do you ever stop and just start listening to the music and just go, this is such a cool thing?
You better not, because we got to keep the show moving.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the joys of it is that I get to hear these wonderful songs every night.
Yeah, you do.
And just sort of bask in the cleverness. I grew up with this music. And Sondheim was a key inspirational figure for me just growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky as a kid to see original productions of Company and Follies and Night Music and all that. We had friends in those shows. We had two friends in Follies, Fred Kelly, who was Gene Kelly's brother, was a dance teacher of mine as a kid.
Wow.
He played a small role in it. And Dorothy Collins, who was brilliant. And after the show we saw, they took us up on the stage. So I can say I walked the Follies set, which was breathtaking to be in the middle of that great thing, not knowing what a legend the entire production would be. But it was one of the great theatrical productions I've ever seen. And the thing that struck me as a kid was what the slant of the stage, the rake was extreme. And all I could think of, there are women on this stage in their 70s and 80s doing this show
in heels.
In heels,
no doubt.
True.
And gowns.
Plus, and the young kids and all of them. And it was, I just thought, that takes a lot of doing. So that impressed me as a kid. But I also saw the original production of Side by Side by Sondheim.
Wow.
And for some reason, my parents took me, and we sat in the second or third row, and I sat looking straight up at Millicent Martin all night, and she kept looking down at me, and I fell in love.
Wow.
Easy to do.
Well, you know, she was just, I guess I was just glowing at her because the whole experience was so wonderful. And she'd look down and smile, and I thought, well, this is it.
Yeah. She's now taken out a restraining order against Marcus, which you don't know.
Either that or later, extreme. I married that lady.
But it was a wonderful evening. So to come, you know, decades later and be able to actually do the show is an absolute treat.
Who else was in that original cast, do you recall?
It was
Ned Sharon.
Ned Sharon is the narrator, and he put it together, director and writer Ned Sharon, and wrote the original copy for it. And the other two singers were David Kernan, who had played Carl Magnus in Night Music in London, and Julia McKenzie, who had played Marta in Company, and then went on. She'd play the witch. She'd do a Mrs. Lovett. She's had a great career in England.
Sondheim favorites.
She's really quite a Sondheim aficionado herself. And all three of them were stellar, and it was an evening that I wanted to go on and on and on. So. You don't have too many of those in the theater.
That's right.
Often I'm glad when the curtain finally makes its way to the floor. But that was an evening that was quite special.
Yeah, well, I can imagine. I saw it in New York as well.
And
it felt very much the same as what you're discussing. I mean, Follies.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And then the production that was done here at the Amundsen recently, I thought was
pretty
great.
It was a lovely production.
It was Danny Burstein and...
It was terrific. Victoria Clark taking over for Bernadette Peters.
Right. Yeah, it was the production from Broadway that transferred in. Yeah, it was a fantastic production.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Dorothy Collins. Do you remember her?
Just through references. I've never seen her.
Boy, she was totally captivating.
Wow.
So magnetic with that performance.
And for most of the night, she played the sad woman who didn't get the love of her life.
Right.
She married the wrong guy.
Right.
And is trailing after and is so upset and emotionally needy. And then at the end of the show in the Folly section comes out, I remember that silver gown and a spotlight and losing my mind.
Right.
And it was stunning. It was the great moment of that show. That had many great moments.
Mm. Yeah, you're exactly right. Mm-hmm. And as a child, I worked at a theater in the round called Melody Land.
Sure. Yeah. I remember that.
And she was the lead in She Loves Me.
Oh.
Mm. There. And that's the first time that I had encountered her, and she was very nice to me. And I was kind of one of the kids they would use during the season. And I did Baba Birdie, started there with George Gobel.
Fun.
Sure. And went on to do it with Dick Van Dyke and his brother, and Sherry Lewis, and many other people throughout the years. But I'll never forget her. She was always very, very sweet to me. So.
That's great.
Lovely lady.
And in our production, Sarah Busick sings that song "Losing My Mind" with great success.
That's so great.
And she's always sweet to me too.
she should be.
It's the song that does that to people.
Mark and Dan have been kind enough to join us here today to talk about their production of Side by Side by Sondheim at the Odyssey Theater on stage now. And obviously, the Odyssey is a great, great place to go see a show. Lots of good stuff to do around there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Parking is relatively easy, right?
It's right there at the
theater. Yeah,
it's right at the theater. Side streets and
good food. We went out to a nice restaurant out there last time we were there. So lots of good stuff going on out there. Easiest way to get tickets is go to www.odysseytheater.com or you can easily call 310-477-2055 extension 2.
And remember, they are very well priced, between $32 and $37, and ticks for $10 available on Friday, July 27th, Wednesday, August 8th, and Friday, September 6th. And discounted tickets, of course, available for seniors, students, and patrons under 30.
So you can go to the theater tomorrow night for $10.
Which means I'd get a discount.
Yeah, you would. For which one? I'm not going to ask, Michael. $10 tomorrow night, correct?
You can grab it. Show up at the door. There's a ticks for 10, they call it.
Do you just like knock at the door?
Yeah, you just knock it.
You got another password, see?
You got another password.
So $10 tickets for Side by Side for Sondheim tomorrow night. There's three performances that have $10 tickets, and we encourage our listeners to get out there and go see that show tomorrow night. It's the next performance available. So very cool.
And you will have a really fun evening.
Boy, I don't have any doubt about that. You guys are certainly very engaging as well. But also, what a great thing to see musical history theater played out in a show form. That's
absolutely
a really cool thing.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And I should also mention, just because Mark and I have worked together for a long time, that we also do a class together over at the Odyssey. We teach a class on Saturdays at Los Angeles Musical Theater Studio, which is a studio we started for for musical theater professionals.
Right. Yes, and he already mentioned, and Drew already mentioned, our web address, I think.
Well, let's talk a little more about that. Where can people find out more about that and maybe apply for classes?
Yeah, so if you go to lamts.com, which is the Los Angeles Musical Theater Studio, we offer classes. We have a lab class for professional actors, and then we will be eventually offering a class for younger performers as well.
Now, do you have to be talented, or will my Teddy Bear Picnic rendition?
Your Teddy Bear Picnic has a very special place.
It does.
Somewhere. I'll let you know where later.
Yes. Your rendition is just below Rosemary Clooney.
Thank you.
This is the one I grew up
see,
with.
And now you've hit a soft spot. I got to tell you, now my 7-year-old and my 10-year-old love it. So just so you know, I know my audience. I don't ever try to stray outside of that. Guys, thank you so much for joining
thank
us here.
Guys.
I have to tell you, I'm terrified to say this, but the time has arrived.
And now, embarrassing moments.
Oh, my God. The audience is very excited about
that
today.
They are. They've been lovely tonight. They've been really engaging and active.
So. Gentlemen, do either of you have a story that might have been a little bit embarrassing and yet you survived it, involved in theater or film?
Okay, well, I'll tell you one. I'll tell you just two quick stories. Although, because I'm a director, I don't. You know, I have been on stage before, but my experiences has mostly been as a director. I'll tell you one that was a bit terrifying before it was embarrassing. We were doing auditions for Assassins, which we did a couple years ago for
the
Pico Playhouse. Great,
I just think that
another
show
Sondheim
so
show. It's fantastic, yeah. Good fun show, and with Claire Adams actually.
Wow.
Somebody came in to audition for one of the assassins, and in the middle of the audition, pulled out a gun.
Oh, no.
Yeah, pulled out a gun in the middle of the audition. We all hit the floor,
right.
You know, including the accompanist, because this is L.A. I mean, we don't know who's in the room.
Things not to do.
Put that under a category of don't do this during
right.
an audition. So that was sort of a scary moment, I guess more than an embarrassing moment. The embarrassing moments for me tend to come when I'm off stage. Several have actually happened when I've been around Mark. I have this horrible or wonderful ability to say something negative about a famous person who happens to be standing right behind me. And it happens with such regularity that I don't know that I can call it just sort of coincidence anymore.
Well, we called all the ones you've insulted and
brought
them in
here. And here they are. They're in the audience. No. Mark and I were having lunch at what was then the Hamburger Hamlet.
Yes.
And I started mentioning something about a movie of Jim Carrey's that I didn't care for and how I thought Jim Carrey had sold out and made all these horrible choices. And Mark turns sort of beet red and starts signaling me with these sort of finger jabs.
No.
I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? I turn around and Jim Carrey is sitting literally, I would say, 2 feet from our table.
Well, you know he's a great listener to the show.
I'm sure he is. Yeah, no doubt. So I insulted him. It's happened with Tom Hanks.
Wow.
It's happened with so many. I can't even tell you.
Now, how do you insult Tom Hanks? He's beloved.
Well, it wasn't necessarily an insult, except that I went up to a friend of mine, and I made some reference to the Castaway film and was screaming, Wilson! Wilson! And he turns beet red and starts pointing at me and jabbing with his finger, and I turn around, and Tom Hanks is right there staring at me. So it's more sort of these embarrassing things that keep happening. I really
wow.
can't attribute it to anything other than terrible, terrible luck.
Wow.
But I'm sure Mark has some embarrassing...
Mark, what you got for us?
Well,
One time I was with this guy who kept insulting famous people we were standing around.
Yes, Dan Fishback, the continual embarrassment in my life.
That's right.
About 20 years ago, the Actors Co-op was doing a production of Tartuffe, which I had done in college.
Sure.
And they were losing the fellow who was playing Organ to do a movie. And so I had a friend in it and said, oh, I remember he did that. He can jump in. So I thought, oh, what the heck?
To Tartuffe.
Well, didn't remember a line of it. And I do remember him being on stage, and I jumped the cue of someone I was speaking to 3 times during their speech. I started jumping in, and they still talk up. And then I jumped up thinking it was the end of the line. No, they had more. And then I did it again, and I just decided, okay, I'm going to give up. And I just stood there until they completely finished, and the person nodded, okay.
Oh, no.
And then I said, there's that.
And now you talk.
Okay.
Have you guys heard the West Side Story poison shoe story?
I just heard this the other day. Is this where they use the shoe that killed me? This is where the shoe becomes the weapon.
Yes, have you heard about
this? Was told on our show.
It was told on
Who
our
told
show.
That?
I don't. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Now I'm wondering
was
if they
Justin
a
Michael
stole.
Wilcox?
No. This was a younger performer. Somebody we hadn't had before. It wasn't a friend of the show. Somebody we'd had multiple times.
But it was
interesting. They told it, and I now wonder if they stole the story.
I don't know. I just heard from a Sarah Busick told the story about a revival of West Side, and they didn't have the gun at the end. Chino didn't have the gun, so they pulled off a shoe and said, you know, how much poison is left in this shoe? Chino, enough for me and you.
That's the story that was told. I wonder if we started an apocryphal tale here.
I hope so. My God.
So funny. Well, I've been on stage. We were talking about the rakes on stages earlier. Mm. And I was on stage one time where they were using fencing rapiers when the show really called for broadswords. But the director made the decision to use fencing rapiers. And it was interesting because the rake was the most significant rake I've ever worked on. Mm. And endlessly, people were worried about dropping their swords. And we got to the final performance. And sure enough, one of the young performers in the background forgot to holster his sword properly in his frog.
Ooh.
And it slipped out and it had the round hilt and it just rolled all the way down this rake. It was at the very top as they were exiting and down, 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 and then it bounced off one of the lights and just kind of cascaded into the orchestra pit where everybody kind of dodged the rapier, and there's no recovering from that. It's just so, yeah, very, very strange.
That's
so, but
fantastic.
That happens, no doubt about it. Hey, good to see you, Michael. So much fun. We had a good time today, yeah?
Yeah.
We got to get these guys back on. Will you guys come back and see us again?
Anytime.
Good. Hey, we want to thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
We greatly appreciate it. We want to remind audiences that the Odyssey Theater currently has Side by Side by Sondheim on stage, and you can get out there to see it tomorrow for $10 only, and normally for anywhere between $32 and $37.
Right, and it plays through September 16th, so make it a point. You've got plenty of options here, folks. Go to their website, odysseytheater.com, or call 310-477-2055, extension 2 for tickets.
A great, great show and a great musical night. You can get out there and have a lot of fun at an unbelievable price. Also, Blade of Jealousy by Henry Wong is now on stage at the Whitefire Theater. We encourage you to go see that, as well as check out Shakespeare by the Sea, of course, LA's next great stage star, and so many wonderful events going on around the Southland.
Right, and for Blade of Odyssey, Andrew, they can call 818-634-8464 for a little more information on that show.
That's right. Lots of good stuff out there to go see. We encourage you to get up, get out of your seat, and go see something fun. Take the family out for a nice night of theater. Most of them are air conditioning now, so certainly a good thing to do. Gentlemen, you'll come back and see us again soon.
Yeah, thank you both. This was fun.
Thank you.
Break legs. Have a good time, and I can't wait to see this show. Michael, where do I see you next week?
Right here on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.